Okay, picture this. Final seconds on the clock. You're standing at the free throw line, and the entire game rests on this one shot.
Or you're a golfer standing over a 3-foot putt to win the tournament. The world just melts away. It's just you, the ball, and the target.
What separates the person who sinks that shot from the one who chokes?
That's the ultimate question in sports, isn't it? Because physically, at that elite level, the skill is there. They've made that shot thousands of times. So the variable, it has to be mental. It's what's happening between the ears in that exact moment.
Precisely. And that's exactly what we're getting into today.
We're talking about the psychology of sports and Mindful Look and how athletes stay present right there on the field when the pressure is almost unbearable.
You know, this is a topic I'm fascinated by, and partly for selfish reasons. I played basketball in high school, and I can so vividly remember moments where my own head was my worst enemy. The more I thought, don't miss this, the tighter my shoulders got, and, well, you can guess the result.
Oh, I can absolutely relate. For me, it was just the sheer noise. Not even the crowd noise, but the noise inside my own mind. Replaying a mistake from 5 minutes ago, worrying about the next play, it pulls you right out of the moment where the game is actually happening.
Exactly. It's like you're playing against two opponents, the other team, and your own runaway thoughts. So the idea that you can actually train your mind, just like you train your body, to be calm and focused under fire, that's a game changer.
It is. And that's the promise of what we're exploring. We're going to delve into the specific techniques athletes are using, from simple breathing exercises to more profound meditation practices to sharpen their mental edge. We'll look at the science behind why it works and how this incredible tool isn't just for superstars, but for anyone looking to perform better under pressure.
I'm ready. It feels like we're about to uncover the mental playbook for clutch performance. This is going to be fascinating.
So let's start with the most foundational tool in that playbook, the one that sounds almost too simple to be true, but is maybe the most powerful, the breath. I mean, we hear it all the time, just breathe. But in a high-stakes athletic moment, what does that actually do?
Right. It sounds like a cliche, but it's pure physiology. When you're under pressure, your sympathetic nervous system kicks in. That's your fight or flight response. Your heart rate skyrockets, your muscles tense up, your body is basically preparing for a threat.
Which is great if you're running from a tiger, but not so great if you're trying to sink a delicate 10-foot putt.
Exactly. So a simple, controlled, deep breath, like a 4-second inhale, a 6-second exhale, that sends a signal directly to your brain to activate the parasympathetic nervous system. It's a physiological off-ramp from that panic state. It literally tells your body, hey, we're not in danger. You can relax the death grip on this golf club.
It's like a manual override for your own anxiety. I find that fascinating. It's not just a mental trick. You are physically changing your body's state in real time.
And it becomes an anchor. Think about it. When your mind is spiraling, you just fumble the ball, the crowd is booing, you're thinking about the headlines tomorrow. What is the one thing that is always happening in the present moment?
Your breath.
Your breath. It pulls you out of the future, out of the past, and locks you into the right now. That's where the game is. That's the only place you have any control.
So is it just about noticing it, or are there specific methods athletes use? I've heard of things like Bokeo. Is it box breathing?
Oh, yeah. Box breathing is huge, especially in sports that require intense focus between moments of action, like shooting or tennis. It's so simple. You breathe in for a count of four, you hold for four, you breathe out for four, and you hold again for four. You're creating a box with your breath.
And what does that do that a simple deep breath doesn't?
It gives your analytical mind a job. Instead of just trying to not think, which is impossible, you're giving your brain a simple rhythmic task to focus on, the counting. The pattern. It occupies the part of your brain that would otherwise be screaming, don't mess this up.
So you're not fighting your thoughts, you're just redirecting them. You're giving the runaway train a different track to run on.
That's a perfect way to put it. It's about redirecting focus. But that brings up another question for me. It's one thing to manage runaway thoughts. But what happens when the noise isn't just in your head? What about when it's physical? The burning in your lungs on the final lap, the sharp pain in your knee. How does mindfulness help an athlete deal with that reality?
That is a phenomenal question, because that moves beyond just managing your thoughts and into managing your reality. A thought is ephemeral, you can redirect it. But a searing pain in your side? That's real. That's a screaming signal from your body that's almost impossible to ignore.
And the typical human response is to resist it, right? To tense up against it. We think, oh no, this pain is bad. I have to make it stop, which ironically just adds another layer of tension and suffering on top of the actual physical sensation.
The suffering of the story you're telling yourself about the pain. This is the end of the race for me, or my body is failing.
Precisely. And this is where a more advanced application of mindfulness comes in. It's not about ignoring the pain. It's about changing your relationship to it. The training teaches you to separate the raw physical sensation from the emotional reaction and the narrative that you layer on top of it.
Okay, hang on. That sounds almost superhuman. How do you actually do that? How do you feel a sharp pain and not immediately think, ouch, this is terrible?
Well, it starts with curiosity. Instead of recoiling, you lean into it with your attention. You observe it like a scientist. Okay, where is it exactly? Is it sharp or is it dull? Does it throb? Does it have a temperature? You break it down into its component parts, its raw data.
So you're dissecting the sensation.
You're dissecting it. And when you do that, something amazing happens. You realize that the label pain is a single monolithic terrifying word, but the actual sensations are just sensations. They're intense, for sure, but they change. They pulse, they move, they fade, and then surge. By observing them without judgment, you stop feeding them with the fuel of your fear and resistance.
You're taking the story away. The story that says, this is a catastrophe. I'm picturing a long-distance runner. They feel that stitch in their side. The untrained mind panics. But the mindful athlete, what do? They just note it? Note it?
They note it. They might even say internally, ah, there is that familiar feeling of intense pressure in my side. They acknowledge it. They might even breathe into it, which sounds crazy, but it's a way of relaxing all the secondary muscles that are clenching around the area in panic.
Wow. So it becomes a signal, not a stop sign. It's just information.
It is just information. It's your body telling you something. And when you can receive that information calmly, you can make a much better decision. Maybe you need to adjust your posture or change your breathing cadence. Panic gives you no options. Observation gives you all the options.
That reframes the entire experience of physical limits. It's not about having a higher pain tolerance necessarily. It's about having a cleaner, more direct experience of the pain without all the mental static.
That's the perfect way to phrase it. It's about reducing the secondary suffering. The physical sensation is what it is. But all the anxiety, the fear, the frustration we add on top, that's the part that often actually breaks us. And that's the part that is, with practice, entirely within our control.
Secondary suffering. Wow, that phrase is going to stick with me. Because it reframes everything we've been talking about. It's not just about sinking the free throw anymore, is it? It's about fundamentally changing your relationship with pressure, with pain, with the very possibility of failure.
It really is. It elevates these techniques from just being a sports performance hack to something much more profound.
Uh-huh.
It becomes a way of navigating your entire inner world, not just the 10 seconds before a crucial play.
Which I think is the most surprising takeaway for me. We started the conversation talking about clutch performance in sports, but where we've ended up feels so much bigger. It's about how to live with more clarity and less self-inflicted struggle.
Mm.
And for me, the core insight is that you don't have to be a passenger to your own thoughts and feelings, that you can actually sit in the driver's seat. That's an incredibly empowering realization, whether you're a professional athlete or just trying to get through a stressful workday.
It is. But I have to ask, is there a potential downside? We've talked about observing pain, observing anxiety. Can you become too observational? Do you risk becoming so detached that you also observe the joy of victory from a distance instead of actually feeling it?
That's a brilliant question. And it's a real concern people have about this stuff, this idea of a kind of sterile attachment. But I think that's a misunderstanding of the goal. The point isn't to numb yourself or to stop feeling. It's the opposite. It's to feel things more directly.
More directly? How so?
Well, think about it. When you win, what often comes with the joy? The ego, right? The story, I am a winner. What will people say now? The relief, the anxiety about the next game,
mm-hmm.
All that mental noise. Mindfulness practice helps strip that away. So what you're left with is the pure, unadulterated sensation of joy itself. It's not a muted experience. It's a cleaner one.
Okay. I see. So it's not about dampening the signal. It's about clearing out the static so the signal comes through more purely. whether that signal is pain or elation.
You've nailed it. It's a clarifying agent, not a numbing agent. It lets you fully inhabit the moment, whatever that moment holds. And I guess if there's one final thought for me, it's that. This isn't about escaping reality. It's about finally, truly arriving in it.
What a place to end. From the roar of the crowd to the quiet of your own breath, this has been absolutely fascinating. A huge thank you to all of you for listening and going on this journey with us.
It's been a real pleasure. Until next time, stay present out there.